certainly sit down. That would be great.
Because
I did.
Good evening, everyone. We're getting started. Thank you for your patience. I ask that we all rise tonight for the pledge to the flag.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Mr. Miller, please call the roll.
Mr. Callahan. Ms. Ramsey Smith.
Present.
Ms. Kwiatek.
Present.
Ms. Laird.
Present.
Ms. Leone.
Ms. Hemke.
Ms. Wilhelm.
Present.
And Mr. Cologne.
Present. Thank you. Mr. Callahan will not be joining us this evening. Moving on to the approval of the minutes. We're going to start with the corrected minutes for the February 20, 2024 meeting. There was a minor correction to agenda item. Bear with me for one moment here. Ordinance 8B, where someone had caught back from the February 20 minutes, we had simply misnumbered something in the reference to the vote that evening. So I'll invite a motion and then a second to adopt the amended minutes where it records the voting for that evening, striking out the reference to Bill 1 of 2024, replacing it with Bill 2 of 2024, and then striking out reference to Bill 2 of 2024 and replacing it with Bill 3 of 2024. So a minor change, but we nonetheless need a motion and then a second.
Motion to accept. Second.
So a motion by Councilwoman Laird, second by Councilwoman Wilhelm. Any discussion on the motion to amend the minutes? Mr. Miller, please call the roll.
Ms. Ramsey Smith.
Aye.
Ms. Kwiatek.
Aye.
Ms. Laird.
Aye.
Ms. Leone.
Aye.
Ms. Wilhelm.
Aye.
And Mr. Cologne.
Aye. Passes 6-0 to correct the February 20 minutes. Any comments on the April 2nd, 2024 City Council minutes? All right, those minutes are approved. We're going to move on to public comment this evening. As is custom, we will allow a 5-minute time limit for anyone watching at home. And once watched live, feel free to scroll ahead to the most current portion of the meeting. Our first public comment is for any subject not being voted on tonight. We have 5 people signed up, starting with Mr. Hirsch.
Alex Hirsch, 738 Center Street, with 641 days. I would like to thank all members of council who have heard my pleas over these many meetings and encouraged me along the way, either openly or by not discouraging me. That's really all it takes for me. Pretty persistent. I am especially thankful to Councilwomen Laird and Leone for meeting with me on their time last Sunday, I think for longer than we even scheduled, to better understand my circumstances and the overall situation and brainstorm some solutions. I stand before you, not yet with a parking permit, but with very real optimism that there is a pathway toward accomplishing that, and that we really do have a solution at hand. So again, thank you very much for this forum. I apologize for all of your time that I've taken over this year and a half or so. And I very much look forward to showing up at a future meeting very soon and sharing a positive outcome. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Hirsch, and no need to ever apologize. Our next speaker, Mark Will Weber.
Mark Will Weber, 66 West Elizabeth Avenue, back representing the Drip, and just want to catch council up on some of the latest things that happened to us. About the end of last month, my phone lit up with a call from Harrisburg, and my first thought was, I don't know anybody in Harrisburg, I'm not answering this. And then I answered it, and it was this head of staff for one of the state reps, and he said, hey, are you Mark Weber, the guy from the drip? And I said, I didn't know how to answer that, yes or no. And I thought about it, I said, yeah, that's me. And he said, we'd like it if you'd come speak to a panel from the House on April 2nd, that's going to be in the Lehigh Valley. So I did do that, and it was in regards to Jean McNeil's pending legislation that she's trying to get looked at. And it was really interesting because first of all, they let me speak for 15 or 20 minutes. And so it was a little different than playing beat the clock with Mr. Colon here. So I got to expound on some of my stuff without getting the Broadway hook, which was refreshing. But basically, you know, Jean McNeil's bill that she's trying to get through would tie the powers that be, the water and sewer czars, as I like to call them, to implementing a red flag alert system. And I know there are some people in council that are behind the same idea because they've talked about it. And essentially it would be, instead of getting a huge quarterly bill at a month, this red flag, in theory, if it worked correctly, would alert the consumer that something was wrong. And it would, for instance, my bill that ended up being over $500 might have been closer to $200 if I'd have gotten an alert. Although I don't know, I was hiking in remote areas in New Zealand where I wouldn't have even had cell service. But at least in theory, it gives the citizen consumer a little bit of a chance. And basically, that's what I did with the state reps, is I laid out how against the citizen consumer the whole thing is now. I liken it to fighting a tank with a water pistol. But if Gene's legislation got through, we'd sort of have like one bronze-tipped arrow against the tank, so it would be a little bit better. And in theory, you would think the water people would want it because it's going to waste less water, right? Now, if they don't want it, why would that be? Would that be because they're going to possibly lose 2/3 of their penalty revenue stream? So there is that aspect of it. And after I spoke, it's really interesting because three different water authorities got up there and spoke. And guess what? They're circling the wagons against Gene's legislation already. Some more subtle than others, but there was a lot of this, oh, we don't know if we can implement that. It's going to be very difficult. And all that made me think of this quote from Jonathan Swift, where he said, you'll know true genius in the world when all the dunces are in a confederacy against it. And that's what it struck me as. They're already circling the wagons against this. Now, I'm not saying Jean McNeil is a genius, but you know what she is? She's a leader. She actually displays leadership, where her constituents were getting hurt by this these water bills, and she said, I'm going to do something about it. Got nowhere with the sewer and water in Bethlehem. Big surprise. So that's what motivated her to propose this bill. Now, the bill, in all likelihood, the Republican Senate was probably going to give it a thumbs down. But the idea that she's trying is very important. And it's going to give us a lot of visibility on the subject. And we're going to keep it visible on the drip. We now have over 300 members. We had 70 or 80 join in the last 6 weeks. So there's other people than this old curmudgeon up here that sort of are not happy about the way things are conducted by the water and sewer czars. Thank you for that.
Thank you, Mr. Woolweber.
Next speaker tonight, Sally Woolweber.
Sally Woolweber, 66 West Elizabeth Avenue. Thank you, Council, again for hearing us. Once again, thank you to all the media outlets. Their coverage has truly brought the issue to the forefront and has many people interested. Okay, sorry. Thank you. many people aware, interested, and concerned about water issues. I'd like to address several issues with statements made by Mr. Pascal and Mr. Spark during the Public Works Committee meeting in March, and some have appeared in the media. Last fall at a council meeting, Mr. Pascal stated that upon the city's smart meter installation completion, the water department hoped to have the electronic alarm system in place between 2028 and 2030. But these alarms would be only used for commercial customers, not residential. At the Public Works Committee meeting, he made it sound like this system would be in place much earlier and would include all customers. I would appreciate if a council member would ask Mr. Pascal for clarification on these two points. He completely reversed his original statement from just a few months ago. Has the plan changed? If so, when realistically will residential customers be able to monitor their water usage electronically? And when will the water department have the alarm warnings in place and act on them immediately by alerting the customer? Mr. Spurk referred to a mega bill we received in 2018. He made it sound like this was a recurring problem for us. We did have an unusually high bill in June of 18, not close to 54,000 gallons, but higher than normal. We had been on vacation for 2.5 weeks, and when we returned home, we walked in and discovered a running toilet. Jiggled the handle, stopped, and we forgot about it until we got our bill. I called the water department, spoke with them, checked the meter, and remembered the running toilet. That time we paid our bill, no questions. It was on us. We know that we had a problem, we took care of it. This time, there was no explanation. Whenever I leave our house at this point, even to go to the store, I make sure there's no running toilet after that experience. Mr. Pascal has also repeatedly referred to the fact that we received a new lead-free water line like it was a bonus. In reality, the water turnoff valve at our curb was so old it had disintegrated, so the water could not be turned off to install a new meter. So it had to be replaced because of its age. Plus, in reality, it didn't cost the water department a dime. They received a $2.875 million PennVest grant in 2021, specifically to replace the city's aging lead water lines. This definitely was not a perk for us. Finally, the water department repeatedly said they will work amicably to resolve any customer issues. This was definitely not our experience. And as it appears, we are not the only customers who have been treated poorly. Here are some adjectives used by others to describe their experience with Mr. Pascal and the water department. Arrogant, dismissive, uncommunicative, unreachable, disappointing, immovable, greedy, shameful, deceptive, disingenuous, indifferent, unhelpful, aloof, nonchalant, unfair, rip-off, and my favorite, implacable. These are other people's words, not mine. Are these really the words you want your constituents using when referring to a water department, a city department? I would hope not. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Woolweber. Next tonight, Harry Faber.
Take it easy. I come here today thankful and apologetic, okay? Perhaps my words of last time were a bit over the top, but I would like to explain myself. I am deeply affected by this genocide, as are many of the people in front of you here today. I can't unsee their lifeless bodies, their pulverized faces, their screams echo in my head constantly. I have no ulterior motive. I'm here because I care about human life. I wish our governing body would too. And maybe you do care about the innocent victims in Palestine, and you don't know what to do or how you can help, if you can help. but I'm telling you that you can. And if you actually listened and discussed with us, we can figure out the most effective plan together. This can be more democratic. There's too few checks and balances for those in power. The people, the working people, need more power, plain and simple. It doesn't have to be us versus you. It doesn't have to be. But I can't stress this enough. It will be if nothing changes or if nothing is done. It's been 6 months and 40,000 people were murdered, all while the federal government is still spending billions upon billions of our taxpaying dollars on weapons, on fighter jets, and more. I've said it before, inaction is action. We will not forget. And I thank you for not silencing us at the last meeting. But that's also not something worthy of being praised. I don't get praised every time I brush my teeth or every time I take a shower. You aren't supposed to be oppressors. You aren't supposed to silence the working people. And most of your actions at the last meeting gave me a glimpse of hope in all of you. Except, of course, Gramsci Smith. Callahan, I was going to address him too, but he's not here. Gramsci Smith, the audacity for you to play the victim for being told the truth, that you are a self-interested, you are self-interested.
Sir, I'll remind you to please address your comments to all of counsel or to the chair, please.
Okay.
Thank you.
Okay, I'm only addressing her because she brought up this.
Sir, I'll remind you. Thank you.
Your actions are truly out of touch with reality. You said, if I could go, quote, if I could go and sell all the horrific atrocities that are happening over in Palestine, I would be there in a heartbeat. But I can't. So that I ask to you, what have you done? What have you done to combat this siege, this genocide
in Gaza?
Sir, again,
address your comments to all of counsel or to the chair.
In regards to the Sunshine Act, on Pennsylvania's Office of Open Records website FAQ, it answers the question, can the public ask questions for the comment during the comment period? And it answers, yes, although members of the agency are not required to provide an answer, it is good practice to do so whenever possible. I read the Sunshine Act, I'm allowed to ask questions. So I can address it to the whole floor off of Gramsci Smith's quote. So again, I ask, what have you guys done? What have you guys done? What have you done to combat this siege, this genocide in Gaza? What have you done? Have you organized food or fundraisers and food drives for the displaced and the starved? Have you advocated on their behalf? Have you denounced the perpetrators of this violence and devastation? Have you condemned the dehumanization of these poor people who are just trying to survive at this point? Their home has been turned into a hellscape, a horror so unimaginable, so unexplainable, many of us can't even comprehend. We can't even put into words. So again, I ask you guys, what have you done other than try to silence the mortified? Last time I checked, no one asked anyone to go over and settle everything in Gaza. We asked to pass a ceasefire resolution, which we wrote for you guys. We wrote for you. We asked you to condemn the genocide. We asked you for human compassion. Yet here you guys are once again. It's not all of you. It was this resolution 6P was passed and pushed on the agenda by one person. I won't name the person, but we all know who it is. And I'm not trying to target you guys. I'm trying to thank you, especially Wilhelm, especially Quiet Tech. Like, you guys were great last... And we came here today in light numbers out of respect for your decision in the last meeting. Make the right decision again. If you don't, we will be forced to mobilize, and we will come here in mass. We don't want to. It's a simple thing. You guys, the precedent that this is saying is that if we, the working people, are concerned, you now are no longer able to be criticized, which is insane. We can't criticize you now during public comment. And if we come in mass, now you're just going to be able to, oh, you look at the time. Now it doesn't matter. You know what? We'll schedule it for another meeting. I work two jobs. I can only come a certain day, a certain time. I make time every 2 weeks for this because I work two jobs. You are effectively silencing and affecting our First Amendment right to protest, to mobilize. Make the right decision. That's all I got.
Thank you. And just to clarify why I was interrupting, I ask everyone to follow our, whether it's council or the public, our rules of addressing all comments and questions to either council as a whole or to the chair of council. Thank you. Our next speaker signed up is Valerie Noonan.
Okay. On the revised resolution to public comment being read into the record this evening, the resolution before us is blatantly prejudicial. It is quite literally based on prejudging whose time and whose opinions are deemed valuable. Public comment was earlier this year moved closer to the beginning of the meeting to better respect the time of members of the public. So what are we supposed to take away from this? There's now an attempt to suppress comments from community members who happen to reside outside of city limits by making it as inconvenient as possible for them to comment. I see the implicit judgment here. It's rather snide. If it's so important to you, then you can stay for the whole meeting. I'd like to remind you that the only people in this room who are obligated to attend city council meetings start to finish are people who work for the city. The rest of us didn't sign up for that commitment, and we're only here because we do care. I, for one, have plenty of other things I could be doing on a beautiful spring evening like this. For people that come from outside city limits, they already have a heightened time cost in coming here because they generally need to travel farther. City council meetings are at a regular time. If not everyone can stay the whole meeting, they at least know a reliable time to show up. Between meetings that go very late versus special meetings scheduled at an off time, neither is ideal, but this resolution, a specific group of people is being made to take the brunt of long comment periods, and it's built to discourage people from commenting at all. The most vulnerable people, the busiest people, like Harry, the people with the least control over their schedules would be most impacted by this resolution. Senior citizens, disabled people, people with demanding jobs, and parents of young children all come to comment at these meetings. I know you've seen folks at the lectern commenting with multiple young children in tow. That is why you saw fit to move forward public comment in the first place. Forcing people to wait until the meeting is toward its end before commenting already stresses people's schedules. And then scheduling a second meeting at a different time means that regular people won't be able to plan around it as easily. As a slight aside, I'd like to point out this is the first city council meeting after the month of Ramadan, and this time of year sunset has been shortly after 7 p.m., which is when the meeting starts. So for the Muslim community members who have shown up to meetings in this past month, most of them have settled for breaking their fasts with a light snack in the audience after not eating since dawn, until they were able to leave and get a proper meal. That's their level of commitment when they come out here. And should there be a similar conflict in the future, delaying comment would also interfere even more with the ability of Muslims to break their fasts. It's unclear what scheduling the second meeting in advance of the next regular meeting means. You could schedule the second meeting at pretty much any time, such as when most people are at work or in school. It's leaving room for abusing the intent of the Sunshine Law, which is in part to ensure that the public can comment. Additionally, the wording indicates that City Council can end comment at any point in the meeting. That means that if desired, City Council could hold prospective commenters to the belief that they would be able to comment, wasting their time, and then end comment suddenly pushing it off to another time. And I also really don't understand the suggestion of potential to push public comment to the next regular meeting. Are you going to double the amount of time people get to speak in the next meeting? Even I don't want to sit through all that. But anything less would be unfair and, to my understanding, a violation of the law. It also, there's no clear way of how this would be scheduled into the next meeting. Where in the agenda would that go? I imagine it would have to be before other city business, otherwise it would defeat the purpose of being a comment period for the previous meeting. I strongly object to separating resident taxpayer comments and other comments, and I especially object to placing certain comments at different parts of the meeting. It's not welcoming, and it doesn't foster the productive environment that you claim to wish for, not to mention it's unnecessarily complicated, and it doesn't seem as though you've thought it through. Thank you.
Thank you. That exhausts our list of everyone who has signed up. So for anyone who had joined us more recently, we are in the public comment for anything not being voted on this evening, and there was reference to proposed council rules changes. Those are not being voted on tonight, so this would be the appropriate time to speak on that, should you wish. So I'll go around the room, as we usually do. Is there anyone on the left who wanted to make comment who has not had a chance to yet? Mr. Caratola?
Hi, I'm Marty Caratola, 813 Lawford Street in Bethlehem, Pennsylvania. I give my address freely because I firmly believe that if perpetrators want to go ahead and break in my house, they're more than welcome to. But I will disable them and turn them over to the authorities. No problem. I will not kill somebody. I don't believe in killing. As I don't believe in the situation that's going on, and that we're let going on in the Middle East too. I think we should not only put a ceasefire, but make it that the war is stopped. It's very simple. It's not a complicated situation, as people say. About 100 years ago, in Dodge City and Tombstone, they made it that you cannot carry loaded guns in the city. You would lose your firearms and be locked up. You've got to stop the war, not just cease the fire. We need to stop the war. Palestine needs to be neutral ground for everyone, no matter how much they may dislike each other. But you carry any kind of a weapon in the city, you will be arrested. Not that you could put it on the lawn aiming at your enemy, and until you fire the gun, you're not in violation. No. Guns should not be permitted in Palestine. No weapons of mass destruction, nothing of that nature. It's neutral ground for everybody. End of story. Be settled. As far as the city, I almost witnessed the killing, the death of a child in a baby carriage yesterday, and probably a mother, because the city is cutting back on expenses and not having places lit properly. You go up on New Street and on the south side and go to the end where Lehigh has the stores and stuff there, the little thing going on there. I think it's Morton Street. It's very dimly lit. Actually, there was no lights on at all. Just a little bit before 8 o'clock. It was dark. The car in front of me wound up making a left turn, and if it wasn't for the woman screaming, that car would have hit that child in the baby carriage and the woman. We gotta keep the lights proper in the city of Bethlehem for the safety of a people. Cut back expenses on lighting? That's not a good thing. Another thing is, which I had stated many times before, the parking authority is utilizing our tax dollars that we pay for the streets to go ahead and harass those people and give us tickets for no reason. There's no reason on Fifth Street to have street cleaning. There's no parties going on there. It's not New York City or Philadelphia, South Street on 3rd and South. No, we don't need this. That is all. Only makes it harder for the people to park on the south side where they get tickets. And if somebody's in violation, I get a ticket, I pay it, or I go ahead and I appeal it. So I'm going to magistrate's meeting on Thursday for something. You have more than one ticket and you're in violation. No, boo. Tow the vehicle at their expense. Also, people abuse animals. They throw cats out in the rain like my neighbor did. The cat wound up getting an upper respiratory infection. Bad kidney problems. I took it to the vet. The thing is, people abuse an animal, they pay for the cost, and double the amount of the cost should be the fine. Now, I hit three different topics within 5 minutes. Maybe we should have 3 minutes for each topic, not just 3 minutes as a total thing. God bless you all. Stay safe.
Thank you, Mr. Caratola. Was there anyone else to the left? Mr. Hack?
Hello, my name is Bud Hackett. I live in Bethlehem, and I previously suggested that council limit public comments to 3 minutes. Let's see how well I do. Some of you know that our friend John Kackmeyer passed away last Friday. He was a good person, an exceptional government manager and administrator, but some would say not such a good politician. He served his country as a dedicated soldier, decorated soldier, in his hometown community as well as many other communities around the country when called to manage cities and counties. If you listen, you may hear John offer good advice to those in government from his new administrative chair in heaven. By the way, I'm sorry, Mayor Reynolds is not here. The family was very appreciative of the kind words that Mayor Reynolds provided on hearing about John's passing. A few other comments. I'm concerned that our government in Bethlehem is appointing too many political friends to the city's boards, authorities, and commissions. Why are so many government and public sector people appointed to these various bodies? We have 80,000 people in the city. Shouldn't there be more private citizens appointed to these boards? Wouldn't that help gain knowledge and skilled advice for the city? I won't go through the list of who's who on which board or authority. In addition, I'm noticing a remarkable number of people who work for agencies coming out and speaking publicly in favor of the mayor's policies. Those policies may be right, or they may not be right, but there are some transparency issues and potential ethical issues when those who receive money from the city come out and advocate for the city's policies and programs. CACLV, ArtsQuest, the Chamber of Commerce, New Bethany are some recent ones that I've heard. And they are among those receiving money from the city and speaking publicly in favor of certain city policies. I don't think it's a good idea. I think just if you want to speak, you might just reveal the money that you're getting from the city, and then that can be waived. Good government says that this is a potential problem, and I hope it's one that you might consider and address. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Hackett. Was there anyone else that left who wants to make comment? I'll turn to the wide center. Mr. Shattered.
Bill Shire, 1898 Avenue. The advantage of not signing up is that you can pick up on some things that have been said before you. So I'll go in reverse order. I think I'd like to just issue a blanket second to Mr. Hackett's remarks. I'm particularly concerned about the Historic Conservation Commission. They met last night. There were only 3 members there. So far as I know, the membership of that commission is down to 3. Will it decrease further? I hope not. Then they can't meet at all. Which what's happened to the Zoning Hearing Board in February, when due to a resignation and another person did not want to be reappointed, they were down to 2 members, and so they had no quorum in February and couldn't meet. They do have, as you know, 2 more members now. So, working backwards, I want to mention an idea I've been sort of quietly promoting, perhaps too quietly, about the affordable housing that may be built at the First Presbyterian Church. And on the, I don't know what the latest plan looks like, but if they still have any of those 4-unit apartment buildings, I'm suggesting that one of them be reserved for new police officers. This might help with the recruiting of 8 officers, which is the current shortfall, and it might make some of the neighbors in the neighborhood feel a little better about the whole thing. As you may have heard, there's some opposition has developed. I'm told there is a petition circulating that has over 1,000 signatures some time ago, actually. Going back to Mr. Hirsch, maybe there's a simple solution to that. Perhaps all that has to be done is to change the ordinance that anybody who owns property in the city of Bethlehem is entitled to have a residential parking permit if their property is in the appropriate area, so that the owner of the property can feel free to visit his or her property at any time. That might be a good thing. I have some comments on the proposed amendments to the public comment resolution. Grace and I talked about it recently, and I said it was an interesting idea, and I'm generally in agreement, but I would like to make 2 adjustments. As proposed, the last courtesy of the floor would be at the end of the meeting for non-residents to speak on anything, as I recall. And no, on things not that were not voted on at the meeting. Sorry. I would suggest that they be allowed to speak on anything, and that residents also be given a chance to speak at the end of the meeting, because the way it's proposed right now, only non-residents could react to anything the council said or did during the meeting, and I think residents should have the same opportunity. And as for the ongoing discussion about Gaza in 1 minute, I'm running out of words on this issue. I have had passing thoughts about not coming to city council meetings anymore for a while, because I'm tired of hearing these allegations that have no foundation. And I want to make an opportunity. I'm willing to discuss after the meeting, if somebody is willing to have a rational, reasonable discussion on some of these issues. I condemn them for their passion, but not for their restraint. And I think they're asking, as I've said in the past, they should be asking for a lot more than just a ceasefire. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Shiner. Is there anyone else in the front row who wanted to make comment on anything not being voted on? Mr. Antalis. And then I'll work left to right with the front row, second row, third row.
Stephen Antalis, 737 Ridge. The issue of residency has been part of Bethlehem's history, commencing with its origins. Any person who is not a member of the Meridian congregation cannot become a resident owner in Bethlehem. This ended when the colonies gained their independence, thereby discontinuing the control of the Meridian colony in Bethlehem by the church in Herndon, Germany. In 1962, residency again became a major issue when the city council passed an ordinance requiring all employees of the city of Bethlehem to reside in the city. This was later repealed sometime in the 1980s. The lengthy and very controversial public comments over the ceasefire issue during the March 5th council meeting again raised the issue of residency after a member of council introduced a possible solution which would limit comments under the public comment item on the agenda to only residents of the city of Bethlehem. The controversy created by this possible resolution force its being tabled. Approximately 1.5 years ago, the issue of residency was raised when a private citizen, unhappy with council's performance and noting that some of council were very recent city residents, suggested that perhaps residency longevity was reflected in their performance. The mayor took strong exception, citing when he was on council, a fellow council member performed extremely well in spite of the fact they were only a very recent city resident. Research into this comment reflects some interesting data. Of the 45 returned citizen evaluation forms of the 7 recent council members resulted in the following grades: 2 Bs, 2 Cs, 1 D, and 2 Fs. Although not evaluated in a similar manner, the past council, the majority of Schwader, Leeson, Doncha, Zabel, and Blinsky, would have received no less than a grade B, with some being an A. If we investigate the common denominator of all the B grades, we will soon discover that they were all born in Bethlehem. If we comparatively investigate the F grades, it's interesting that they have the lowest residency in the city of Bethlehem. Since the evaluations are based on performance rather than personality, it is clear whom we should elect for council. Prior to election, all candidates are unknown quantities. Therefore, residency should be a key factor for election to council. The same condition should exist for those seeking re-election, especially the S. Voters, please take note of the council at the next council election.
Thank you, Mr. Antalis. Is there anyone else in the front row who wants to make comment who's not had a chance to yet? I'll move to the second row. Anyone in the second row, in the very center?
Hi, my name is Yashira, born and raised American citizen, resident of the Lehigh Valley my entire life, graduated from William Allen High School, lived on Fountain Hill for several years, birthed both of my children at St. Luke's Bethlehem. I've talked here, not that I think any of you would recognize my face or even remember me. I feel like we just kind of blend into the masses of brown people in your eyes. It's about the third time that I've talked here, and usually I have something prepared because public speaking is not my forte. I get extremely nervous. I always end up crying because I can't believe that we are still, after 6 months, witnessing the atrocities that we are witnessing and that our city council members are claiming ignorance, are claiming that their hands are clean, or that they have no power, or that this issue is above them. When we are the people that live with you, we are the people that serve you, we are the people that educate your children, we are the people that when you go out with your girlfriends on a dinner to unwind and get drunk and talk about how frustrating it is that you have to come to these city council meetings and it's running on for forever, yet we just blend into the background. You don't even realize the conversations that we've heard from literal city council members, but I'm not going to address any of you specifically because we have to address you guys as a whole. We are your Uber drivers, and when you're sitting in the car talking about elated about how your daughter has had their first kiss, or how you're, again, you're frustrated that you have to sit here through hours when Valerie stated that we also have families. We also have children. We also have jobs. We also have much better things that we would rather do. But as a human being, we feel obligated to not allow history to repeat itself. Because the same people that claimed blind ignorance when this was happening to the Jewish people, they had no idea. They didn't know. And maybe they didn't know. But we can't claim that ignorance. In the days of social media, everything that we are exposed to, on the ground information, we cannot be swayed anymore by propaganda and fake news and what, you know, they decide to cover. Israel is out of control, bombing not only just Palestine. What happened? Now that they're claiming to be victims once again because of Iran's attack, when under international law, Iran was doing exactly what they had every right to do, and that was to defend themselves from a direct attack, a declaration of war, that if it happened in any American base anywhere around the world, we would retaliate tenfold. But Iran was graceful. They didn't kill any citizens. They didn't attack or bomb any hospitals. You'll have your time to speak. Be respectful and shut up.
I'm going to ask everyone. I didn't hear what was said from the audience, so I'm not going to start.
That's fine. I addressed her.
But I ask everyone to keep your comments to counsel.
100%. So we are going to continue to come back because it is our American right to come back. And although you think that the majority of us that are coming do not live in Bethlehem because for fear of doxing, for fear of harassment, we refuse to state our address, that is not the case. We will show you our IDs in private if that's what you so wish, and we will come back. This resolution is absurd, and that's why you guys tabled it, because you know that it's unconstitutional. So yes, we're going to come back, not because we think that we're going to change your minds, because if we don't come back, we are just as guilty as the Nazis. We are just as guilty as the people who had the apartheid in South Africa. We're just as guilty as Jim Crow. And one day I hope that it'll rest on your conscience, because although it won't change you, we know that we say it because we don't want you to change us. And in the future, you will hang your head in shame. You will. You will feel the brunt and the guilt of everything that you did not do. Thank you.
Thank you. Is there anyone else in the second row who wants to make a comment who's not had a chance? Here on the far right? Or my far right?
Good evening, Ruby Kaluf. I'm a resident of the city of Bethlehem. I'm here to address the revised amendment. I'm here to address the revised amendment of the rules of council, which were previously set forth in Resolution 2011-214. The revised amendment to the rules of council provides an even more problematic, more divisive, and potentially more discriminatory and more unconstitutional rule of council. First, the amendment seeks to take an existing two categories of public comment, one for matters being voted on, one for matters not being voted on, and add a third category of public comment for non-residents, non-taxpayers at the beginning of council meeting, and then a fourth category of public comment to non-residents and non-taxpayers on matters not being voted on at the end of the council meeting. In short, this is going from two segments of public comment to four. Moreover, it adds nothing substantively. The current rules of conduct already allow for all of these categories, residents, non-residents, taxpayers, and non-taxpayers, to all provide public comment. The only thing that this proposed amendment does accomplish is to separate and shuffle the order of public comment. Second, again, none of the controlling terms are defined in any way. Just because the Sunshine Act doesn't seek to define those terms, it does not mean that they would not be legally challenged. The term resident, non-resident, taxpayer, non-taxpayer, they remain completely vague and undefined, leaving them entirely open for interpretation and confusing the public even more. College students reside in the city of Bethlehem just as much as homeowners. Patrons of a city of Bethlehem business contribute to that business's revenues, who then turns around and pays taxes to the city of Bethlehem, just like a property owner. Where do we draw the line? These terms create the real potential that they will be interpreted and applied in a discriminatory manner in violation of the First Amendment. Subjective and discriminatory interpretations are not going to solve the council's perceived problem. They will only exacerbate them. Moreover, long council meetings are not exclusive to a ceasefire resolution plea. There are townships and cities all over the Commonwealth and throughout states throughout the country that have issues of general concern and wide impact. For instance, construction of warehouses, residential and commercial developments, utilities, transportations. These issues drive hundreds of people to come out to their council to speak on these issues because they affect them. That doesn't mean that the council turns around and comes up with a resolution or proposes a resolution to somehow curtail those comments. So the council should carefully and painstakingly review this proposed amendment with the lens of the two cornerstones of our democracy. One, the freedom of speech. Again, the First Amendment. I can't believe that we have to actually defend this, but the First Amendment to the U.S. Constitution unequivocally protects the freedom of speech. Let's remind ourselves, quote, Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof or abridging the freedom of speech or of the press or of the right to people peacefully to assemble and to petition the government to a redress of grievances. This is our Constitution. The protection of freedom of speech is again reflected and enshrined in Section 7 of the Constitution of Pennsylvania, which states, quote, the free communication of thoughts and opinions is one of the invaluable rights of man, and every citizen may freely speak, write, and print on any subject being responsible for the abuse of that liberty. Second, public trust in public in placed in elected officials. The General Assembly finds that the right of the public to be present at all meetings of agencies and to witness the deliberation, policy formulation, decision-making of agencies is vital to the enhancement and proper functioning of the democratic process, and that secrecy in public affairs undermines the faith of the public in government and public's effectiveness in fulfilling its role in a democratic society. So while the intention may be to simply avoid long council meetings. We've gone from having two segments of public comment to four, and we have no definitions whatsoever to the terms, so people don't know what category they fall into. This proposed amendment is a breeding ground for constitutional violations of the right of freedom of speech. Adopting such a resolution is going to invite legal challenges. But more concerning, it will diminish the public trust in our elected officials at a pivotal time when our country needs more compassion and unity instead of indifference and division.
Thank you. Was there anyone else in the second row who wanted to make comment? I'll turn to the third row. Was there anyone in the third row who wanted to make comment on anything not being voted on tonight? To the right. Anyone I missed before we move on? Thank you, everyone. That concludes our first public comment. Moving on to our second public comment for ordinances or resolutions that are to be voted on this evening. We don't have anyone signed up, so I'll go around the room again. Anyone to the left who wants to comment on anything we're voting on this evening? I turn to the wide center. Anyone who wants to make comment? Mr. Antalix?
Stephen Antalix, 77 Ridge. The sale of the service revolver by the city and its citizens to a retired police officer is their way of showing their appreciation for the officer's service and their ensuring the welfare of the community. This has become a tradition which is finalized by City Council's unanimous approval vote. But this unanimous approval tradition has now been broken with the council member voting against the sale because it violated their personal principles. The question now becomes, has this council member violated their oath as a public servant, which is a caretaker of citizen welfare, and in conflict with the gun sale, which by definition indirectly enhances citizen welfare? This question was raised at the recent meeting of council's training session in Pennsylvania State Ethics Laws. No answer was provided. A call was then made to Pennsylvania State Ethics Commission. No answer was given since it did not fall under any of its guidelines. I now ask the president of council to ask council solicitor whether or not the council member violated their ethics as a public servant as opposed to their role as a private citizen. An answer would be appreciated since a number of citizens have privately expressed their interest also. I'd like to use the remainder of my time to follow Mr. Weber's comments. During these meetings, I've heard the term impossible used in terms of water meters. To a physical and material scientist, this is an impossible term because anything mechanical is not perfect. So take your speedometer. You have a rotating digital, which is miles. So every time it hits a mile, the next digit, which is a tenth, foot turns one time.
Mr. Antalis, please relate this to something that we're voting on this evening.
Well, I'm using the remainder of my time.
That we're in the part of public comment for anything that's voting on, Mr.
May
Antalis.
May I continue?
I'm going to ask you to remind me how this is relevant to anything that's on the agenda.
It is not relevant, but I would like to use my time.
That is not where we are in the agenda, Mr. Antalis.
Sir, it's relevant in a sense of illuminating something very, very important when that gentleman's comment.
Mr. Antalis, I'm not going to interrupt you again, so please let me finish.
Sir,
you know where we are in the agenda. This is not time to use this time to speak on previous comments for things that were not being voted on. So I'm going to politely ask you to either bring it to something that we're voting on this evening, or we'll continue on with our meeting this evening.
I have observed you allowing someone to do exactly that on a number of occasions. Whether you're making this personal, I don't know. But I sort of feel it is that way. But
no, I apologize.
If you want to feel that way and show no benevolence or concern for something important to understand, I'll sit down.
Thank you, Mr. Antalis. Anyone else may comment on anything we're voting on this evening? Yes, in the Senate.
I actually read the same, or you can start the time, I'm allowed. I read the same thing, and I just want to say it is very interesting that in that you guys are selling it for the actual cost, I believe, of the firearm, which is $300. So it's interesting to me that you guys know how to not put the profit motive in every function of human life, being like housing, healthcare, whatnot. I just find it interesting. We don't have to profit off of selling former police officers their own weapons, but we have to profit off of everything else. I just want to say that.
Thank you. Mr. Shire.
Bill Shire, 1898 Avenue. I wanted two things. First, I want to support the nomination of Mr. Melosi to the Planning Commission. And I've had a good chat, and I like the way he feels about the city and what should happen. As you know, I am concerned about the future of Bethlehem and whether or not we're going to throw away our special quality of life in the name of growth. And as for this firearm discussion, now, is that going to be voted on tonight?
Yes, sir.
Okay. I've done some thinking about that, and I may be completely off base here trying to put myself in the inside the brain of a retiring police officer, because I've never been one. I've never even owned a gun, although I did fire a .22 in ROTC and got a marksman's badge. It occurs to me, well, first let me mention that the Washington Post once said that half of the officers in D.C. never fire their weapon in their entire career, which was kind of an eye-opening for me. And this was back during a period when things were pretty bad in D.C. for a while. It was the homicide capital of the country, when things have gotten kind of bad again, too. But anyhow, when an officer retires, and let's say he's had this weapon for his entire career, or her, and for all he knows, and this is one of the things that Donald Rumsfeld would call the things you know you don't know, for all he knows, that weapon may have saved his life, even though it stayed in his holster his entire career. Because there might have been a time when he was confronting a perpetrator who was thinking about doing something to the officer, but then noticed the weapon in the holster and decided, yeah, maybe I better not. That's, like I said, that's something we know we don't know. But I think if I were an officer retiring, I would feel a certain affection for this weapon that I never had to fire and would like to keep it around as a law-abiding citizen. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Shine. Is there anyone else in the center who wanted to make comment on anything that council is voting on this evening? Anyone to the right? That concludes our public comment this evening. Any old business from members of council? Any new business from members of council? Councilwoman Leon?
First, I wanted to thank Mr. Hackett for bringing up John Cagmar, and also the mayor for sending condolences. John was an outstanding individual. I met him on the campaign trail, spoke with him at length. He was just a good man, and he will be lost or be missed. I'm sure that this is probably going to come up later, but the Southside had an amazing announcement, and I just once again want to thank LVIP for their very generous donation of a $4 million property that will go a very long way in helping with the affordable housing crisis that we're facing, making just a good quality of life reachable for everyone in all income brackets. And wanted to remind people that the Southside cleanups are coming up, so if you want to know about them, just holler at me after the meeting, because we're going to have one every month between now and November.
Thank you, Councilman.
Did I do something wrong?
No, sorry. I was consulting with our solicitor on something. I apologize. Right. Any other new business for members of council? One of the things that, again, sorry, as we were consulting on something, one thing I will announce here, new business, we are looking for volunteers for the Public Library Board. I know there was a question before about boards and appointments, things like that. There is someone who is, I will say, anyone, there's a couple people have shown interest. There's one, only one position to be filled. It's a volunteer one. Anyone who's interested or may know someone interested who's ideally supportive of the Bethlehem Public Library, they could reach out to our clerk's office, and Mr. Miller will be sure to forward that information to me as we make decisions. Any other new business from members of council? So we'll move on to communication 6A.
March 25th, 2024 memorandum with proposed resolution from Director of Public Works, Mike Alcohol, requesting destruction of records from his department. Mr. Alcohol has reviewed the Municipal Records Retention Act, and the records listed on the exhibit accompanying the memo fall within the categories where destruction is permitted.
And a resolution will be placed on the May 7 agenda. Communication 6B.
March 20th, 24, memorandum and proposed resolution from Tiffany Wismer, business manager of the Department of Community and Economic Development. Memorandum recommends a contract with the Greater Lehigh Valley Chamber of Commerce to provide marketing and public relations services to the city. The amount is $80,000. The contract will run from January 1st through December 31st of 2024.
And resolution 10B is on the agenda, communication 6C.
On March 27th, 2024, memorandum with an attached resolution from DCED business manager Tiffany Wismer. Ms. Wismer recommends an agreement with BEDCO to carry out programs and or targeted activities of BEDCO, including administering programs and activities. Cost is not to exceed $15,000. Contract will run through December 31st of 2024.
And resolution 10C is on the agenda. Communication 6D.
On April 2nd, 2024, memorandum from Police Chief Michelle Cott with an attached resolution and agreement for the purchase of a duty weapon by a retired officer of the Bethlehem Police Department. Pursuant to the Third Class City Code, retired officers may purchase their duty firearms at fair market value.
And resolution 10D is on the agenda, communication 6E.
On April 3rd, 2024, memorandum with proposed resolution from Police Chief Michelle Cott requesting the destruction of records from her department. Chief Cott has reviewed the Municipal Records Retention Act, and the records listed on the exhibit accompanying the memo fall within the categories where destruction is permitted.
And the resolution will be placed on May 7th, Council Agenda. Communication 6F.
On April 2nd, 2024, memorandum with an attached resolution from DCED business manager Tiffany Wismer. Ms. Wismer recommends a contract with Benchmark Civil Engineering Services to review the Pembroke Road and Steffco Boulevard street corridors within the Pembroke Choice Neighborhood Project, considered low-cost tactics to slow traffic and increase pedestrian safety, and estimate costs for implementation. Cost of the contract is $9,700. There are no renewals.
And resolution 10E is on the agenda. Communication 6G.
On April 4th, 2024, memorandum with an attached resolution from Laura Collins, Director of Community and Economic Development. Ms. Collins recommends an agreement with Kugel's Recycling of Harrisburg to transport and process curbside recycling materials picked up from the Bethlehem Yard Waste facility. Cost for the first 48 months of the contract is $2,208,955. Contract will run from May 1st, 2024 through April 30th, 2028. 5 one-year renewals are offered at a total additional cost of $3,155,055. Kugel's was the lowest of four bids received.
Resolution 10F is on the agenda. Communication 6H.
On April 2nd, 2024, memorandum with an attached resolution from Laura Collins, Director of Community and Economic Development. Ms. Collins recommends an agreement with Key Codes Inspection Agencies of Allentown to provide state-certified backup personnel to perform inspection services in the event of illness, emergency, or vacations. The cost is $25,000 per year through December 31st, 2027. 5 one-year renewals are offered at a total of additional cost of $125,000. Key Codes was the lowest of two bidders.
And resolution 10G is on the agenda. Communication 6I.
On April 9th, 2024, memorandum with an attached resolution from Edward Boscola, Director of Water and Sewer Resources. Mr. Boscola recommends an agreement with AECOM of Conshohocken to design upgrades to three emergency water system connections between the cities of Bethlehem and Allentown under the Lehigh County Authority. Cost is not to exceed $151,400. Contract will run through December 31st of 2024. There are no renewals.
And resolution 10H is on the agenda. Communication 6J.
On April 9th, 2024 memorandum with an attached resolution from Edward Boscola, Director of Water and Sewer Resources. Mr. Boscola recommends an agreement with AECOM of Conshohocken to design upgrades to two emergency water system connections between the City of Bethlehem and Easton Suburban Water Authority. Cost is not to exceed $119,200. Contract will run through December 31st of 2024. There are no renewals.
And resolution 10I is on the agenda. Communication 6K.
an April 10th, 2024 memorandum from Solicitor John F. Spurk Jr. with an attached use permit agreement and resolution. Permittee is St. Luke's University Health Network for use of the Earl E. Schaefer Ice Rink for the 2024 Boutique at the Rink event. Dates are May 28th through June 1st, 2024. The duration of the permit is May 1st through June 7th, 2024.
And Resolution 10J is on the agenda. Communication 6L.
An April 10th, 2024 memorandum from Solicitor John Spurk Jr. with an attached use permit agreement and a resolution. Permittee is the Kindness Project with sub-permittee of Arts Quest. Permittee wishes to use First Street from Founders Way to the Ruins West Lot for the Peyton Hindman Memorial Car Show from 11 a.m. until 4 p.m. on May 5th, 2024. Duration of the permit will be from 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. on May 5th.
And Resolution 10K is on the agenda this evening. Communication 6M.
An April 10th, 2024 memorandum from Solicitor John F. Spurk Jr. with an attached use permit agreement resolution. Permittee is the Greater Lehigh Valley Chamber of Commerce. Sub-permittees are Lost Tavern Brewing, LLC, Franklin Hill Vineyards, Incorporated, and Social Still, LLC. Permittee wishes to use the Bethlehem Rose Garden and Band Shell for the 2024 Live in the Garden Concert Series. Event dates are May 4th, 11th, 18th, and 24th, June 1st, 8th, 15th, and 22nd of 2024, from 5:30 to 8 p.m. Duration of the permit is from 5 to 8:30 p.m. each of the listed dates.
And Resolution 10L is on the agenda. Communication 6N.
An April 10th, 2024 memorandum from Solicitor John F. Spurk Jr. with an attached use permit agreement and resolution. Permittee is Arts Quest and the event is the 2024 Levitt Pavilion Concert Series. Permittee wishes to use First Street from Founders Way to the Eastern Terminus. Event dates are Thursdays, Fridays, Saturdays, and Sundays, May 17th through September 14th, 2024, with times of 7:30 to 9 p.m. Duration of the permit is from 5 to 11 p.m. on each of the listed dates.
And Resolution 10M is on the agenda. Communication 6O.
An April 10th, 2024 memorandum and proposed resolution from Laura Collins, Director of Community and Economic Development. Memorandum seeks permission to apply for a $300,000 grant from Northampton County requesting funds for the Greenway Trail Gap acquisition.
And Resolution 10N is on the agenda. Communication 6P.
An April 11th, 2024 memorandum from Councilwoman Grace Cramsey Smith with an attached resolution proposing to amend council rules. Resolution reads substantially as follows and is provided in full on the city's website. 1. Amendment of Rule 3A. Rule 3A, setting forth the order of business at public meetings, is amended to provide the following order of business. Roll call, approval of minutes, public comment by resident and taxpayers on ordinances and resolutions to be voted on this evening, 5-minute time limit. Public comment by residents and taxpayers on any subject not being voted on this evening, 5-minute time limit. Public comment by non-resident taxpayer on ordinances and resolutions to be voted on this evening, 5-minute time limit. Old business, new business, tabled items, unfinished business, communications, reports, ordinances for final passage, new ordinances, resolution, public comment by non-residents and taxpayers on any subject not being voted on this evening, 5-minute time limit, adjournment. Number 2, amendment of Rule 3D. Rule 3D, providing public comment, will not be extended for personal insults or personal attacks on any individual, name-calling, or other behavior that is inconsistent with the purpose and intent of public comment, is hereby amended to provide that public comment will not be extended for personal criticism unrelated to city business, nor for disruptive behavior that interferes with the administration and progress of a public meeting. And number 3, addition of Rule 3E. Section 3E shall state as follows. When any council member believes that council will not be able to address the business before it unless public comment is suspended as provided for in Section 710.1 of the Sunshine Act, council may, by motion and majority vote, defer the public comment period to the next regular meeting or to a special meeting occurring in advance of the next regular meeting.
And that resolution will be placed on the May 7 City Council agenda. Communication 6Q.
An April 10, 2024 memorandum from Solicitor John F. Spurk Jr. with an agreement and proposed resolution. Solicitor Spurk recommends approval of a wastewater treatment plant allocation agreement between the City of Bethlehem and Lower Saucon Township and the Hellertown Borough Authority.
And resolution 10-0 is on the agenda tonight. Thank you, Mr. Miller. Moving on to reports. The only report I have is reminding everyone of the announcement that City Council is going to hold our curative amendment hearing. That is going to be on Tuesday, April 30th, 2024 at 6 p.m. here in Town Hall. This hearing was requested by the petition submitted by BAHX LLC. The curative amendment requests removing any building length limitation from the CL district in our zoning ordinance. The subject property is the proposed Hanover Apartments project. And again, that will be on April 30th at 6 p.m. here in Town Hall. I have nothing else to report tonight. Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. Sorry for my delay in attending. We had a World Heritage meeting. I think I had sent you an email that said that, you know, we have our international consultant, Mr. Gamble, in this week. So we were meeting upstairs, but we were able to conclude in time for me to come down. My first administrative order is I hereby reappoint Matthew Malozzi, 1820 Paul Avenue, Bethlehem, PA, 1818, of the Blighted Property Review Committee, and this appointment is effective as of April 16th, 2024.
Administrative order, Matthew Malozzi, Blighted Property Review Committee. The resolution is sponsored by Ms. Leone and Ms. Cramsey Smith.
Any discussion? I'll just say I see Mr. Malozzi here, and I thank him for continuing to volunteer his time on a few of our city boards. Mr. Mayor, did you want to add something?
Just to add something, is obviously you see Mr. Malozzi under 7B5 as well. When his appointment to City Planning Commission, there is one Planning Commission designee to the Blighted Property Review Committee. So those two things are connected. So he's not being appointed to two different things independently. It's essentially the same appointment and then the designee to the Blighted Property Review Committee.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. And I think that was relayed to us previously. I appreciate the clarification. Councilwoman Laird, did you have a question?
Not a question, just I am a neighbor of Mr. Malozzi and would like to just second the thanks for volunteering in a number of capacities, both on the city and in various community organizations, and I was really active with that.
Any other discussion from members of council? We'll call the roll.
Ms. Cramsey Smith?
Aye.
Ms. Kwiatek?
Aye.
Ms. Laird?
Aye.
Ms. Leone?
Aye.
Ms. Wilhelm?
Aye.
And Mr. Colon?
Aye. Passes 6-0.
Thank you. I hereby appoint Esmeralda Nazario, 1729 West North Street, Bethlehem, PA 1818, to the Civil Service Board as an alternate. This appointment is effective as of April 16, 2024.
Administrative order, Esmeralda Nazario, Civil Service Board. Resolution sponsored by Ms. Leone and Ms. Cramsey Smith.
Discussion on the appointment. We'll call the roll.
Ms. Cramsey Smith?
Aye.
Ms. Kwiatek?
Aye.
Ms. Laird?
Aye.
Ms. Leone?
Aye.
Ms. Wilhelm?
Aye.
And Mr. Colon?
Aye. Passes 6-0.
Thank you. I hereby appoint Daniel Sabrinsky, 722 Delwood Street, Bethlehem, PA 1808, in the Parking Authority. This appointment is effective as of April 16, 2024.
Administrative order appointing Daniel Sabrinsky to the Parking Authority. The resolution sponsored by Ms. Leone and Ms. Cramsey Smith.
Discussion? We'll call the roll.
Ms. Cramsey Smith?
Aye.
Ms. Kwiatek?
Aye.
Ms. Laird?
Aye.
Ms. Leone?
Aye.
Ms. Wilhelm?
Aye.
And Mr. Colon?
Aye. Passes 6-0.
Thank you. I hereby reappoint Joan Narkovic, 603 North Clewell Street, Bethlehem, PA, to the Sister City Commission. This appointment is effective as of April 16, 2024.
Administrative order reappointing Joe Narkovic to the Sister City Commission. The resolution is sponsored by Ms. Leone and Ms. Cramsey Smith.
Discussion? We'll call the roll.
Ms. Cramsey Smith?
Aye.
Ms. Kwiatek?
Aye.
Ms. Laird?
Aye.
Ms. Leone?
Aye.
Ms. Wilhelm?
Aye.
And Mr. Colon?
Aye. Passes 6-0.
Thank you. 7B5, I hereby reappoint Matthew Malozzi, 1820 Paul Avenue, Bethlehem, PA 1808, in the City Planning Commission. This appointment is effective as of April 16, 2024.
Administrative order reappointing Matthew Malozzi to the City Planning Commission. The resolution is sponsored by Ms. Leone and Ms. Cramsey Smith.
Discussion?
We'll call the roll.
Ms. Gramsci Smith?
Aye.
Ms. Kwiatek?
Aye.
Ms. Laird?
Aye.
Ms. Leone?
Aye.
Ms. Wilhelm?
Aye.
And Mr. Colon?
Aye. Passes 6-0.
Thank you, and I do know Mr. Melosi and Mr. Sobrinsky are here in attendance, and I just want to thank them personally. Part of our success as a city is the fact that we have a lot of very highly qualified professionals that want to be a part of our authorities, boards, and commissions. Mr. Sobrinsky and Mr. Melosi are near the top of that list. So I just want to thank them personally. As we often talk about, the progress here is not just about getting it right, but it's about carrying out that process, and that often takes a lot of time in unpaid positions. So I just want to thank them personally for their service before we move on. And then Administrative Order 7B6, I hereby reappoint Rosalie Sabo, 798 Barrymore Lane, Bethlehem, PA 18017, to the Civil Service Board, and this reappointment is effective as of April 16, 2024.
Administrative order reappointing Rosalie Sabo to the Civil Service Board. Resolution sponsored by Ms. Leon and Ms. Gramsci Smith.
Discussion on the appointment. We'll call the roll.
Ms. Gramsci Smith?
Aye.
Ms. Kwiatek?
Aye.
Ms. Laird?
Aye.
Ms. Leon?
Aye.
Ms. Wilhelm?
Aye.
And Mr. Colon?
Aye. Passes 6-0.
Thank you. I'm going to turn to Ms. Collins in a second for two updates, but I do want to relay that this week we started our street paving work. I think I've talked a lot about that, last year, over the two-year period, 2022-2023, we paved 47 miles, lane miles. The next 2 years, our goal is 50. Thanks to support of City Council, that is a improvement over the 2021 kind of two-year period, which is about 27. So we've made an enormous jump there, including some of the work that we've helped to get UGI do with all of the dirt cutting up that they've been doing. So, but that work started last week. I believe it started over there on West or North Boulevard, I believe, Mr. Alcohol. So that was kind of the first street that we started milling. So you'll see a lot of that work going on. That takes a lot of city work. As you know, we do some of that in-house. We contract some of that out. But that is something Mr. Alcohol and his department is hard at work, so I do want to thank them for that, and you'll start to see that going on if you've not already. And I just wanted to turn to Ms. Collins to be able to make a couple of updates, and then that will conclude our report presently.
I just have two updates tonight. The first is Councilwoman Leone already mentioned during new business. We had a major announcement last week, which I hope everyone had the opportunity to see if they weren't in attendance, but we announced a very large priority initiative for the city. It's a mixed income housing project in South Bethlehem. It's made possible by a more than $4 million land donation from LVIP, and it helps us really realize a decades long dream of reimagining the South Bethlehem Eastern Gateway. We had started planning well before I was around, and that was probably, I want to say, 10 or even 12 years ago when we started doing some planning for that corridor there. And LVIP is now under agreement to buy the Szilagyi Fuel and the Dancho sites on 4th Street, and they're going to be donating that land to a project that'll bring 120 new apartment units, mix of market rate and affordable units. Over a two-phase multi-year project. We made the announcement alongside LVIP, Penrose, who's the selected affordable housing developer, Community Action, and of course the neighborhood's longtime advocate, Councilwoman Leone, who spoke really passionately about the project. We think it's a really good example of how opening doors is playing out and to really make impact in the community. It's brought a lot of partners together in the planning process for opening doors, which is now translating into projects that really will help house people. So it's a really big step for us in our collective housing work. And the second announcement is that we held a community festival in the Marvine Pembroke neighborhood this past Saturday, April 13th. And that was part of our Pembroke Choice Neighborhoods housing project. It was very well attended. It was a great event. The city and the Housing Authority jointly put that on as a way to connect with the Pembroke Housing Authority residents and tell them a little bit more about the program and do it in a more informal and welcoming environment in the middle of the neighborhood. And we got a really great turnout, and we're also very grateful to all the partners who set up as part of that festival, whether it was CAT or the Bethlehem Area School District. The Health Bureau was there, the Recreation Bureau was there, LUAG, Arts Quest. There were a lot of great community partners who were able to engage with members of that community. And then they also were able to provide some feedback about the planning that we are doing for the neighborhood so that we could hear more from the residents about what kind of future planning is really going to be most important for that neighborhood. One of the things that we heard quite a lot about was traffic safety. I think you'll see later on in the agenda, we do have a contract to start looking at Pembroke and Stefco, and that's a direct result of this, you know, really on-the-ground community engagement that we're doing with people in the neighborhood. So those are two updates on our housing work, but a way to stay engaged, of course, for the public as well, is at our quarterly steering committee meetings, the next of which is on May 15th at Northampton Fowler Center, and that's at 6:30 p.m. Go ahead.
Thank you, Ms. Collins. And I would just add, you know, my thanks to all the six members of City Council that are here tonight and your commitment to this issue of housing. Organizations and institutions like LVIP don't just spend $4 million. That just doesn't happen. And part of the reason it happened is because of the commitment of not just the administration, but people in City Council. And that comes up in these conversations a lot. It helped us get the Choice Neighborhoods Grant of $500,000. And it really, really helped us get this $4 million public-private partnership with LVIP. And if we all weren't on the same page, like, it would not have happened. And so I cannot thank the council members, all of you, who in whatever way that you choose to, have been really, really supportive of this issue of housing. It's an issue that Councilman Campsey Smith has talked about before, that Councilman Leone has been on the ground for, that all of us, I know Councilman Kwiatek and Councilman Leone were at one of the meetings last week. It's an issue that Ms. Laird and I have talked about for years, same thing with Mr. Cologne and Ms. Wilhelm, and it's an issue that's on the top of all of our lists, and it is that uniformity as a priority that has allowed for these type of partnerships to happen. And it is one of those things that is consistent going back to the reason why we're able to get some of the support that we're able to get. One of the other things that happened last week was we had like the fit out groundbreaking for the Bethlehem Food Co-op, another project that was able to get the support of Congresswoman Wild and others because they looked at this particular community and the fact that everybody was on the same page and everybody was talking about what this was. And I know that sometimes in the moment it doesn't necessarily feel that way, but I am telling you that in these conversations, when it comes up with our state and federal officials and they're talking about where necessarily allocate those dollars, what separates the city of Bethlehem from other places and our grant applications is the fact that everybody's on the same page. And that's not something we could do alone. So people are about to be helped in the K-Way and 4th because we supported Opening Doors, because we supported our housing study. And I cannot thank the people in City Council enough for being advocates for that, because that's really the reason why this is going to happen. If we didn't do that study, if we didn't support this, this wouldn't be happening. And the reason why we're able to get those type of deals when other people don't have them is because we did the work. So I would conclude, Mr. Cologne, by just saying thank you to everybody on City Council and all of our partners on the steering committee and our nonprofit world and everywhere else, because some of these big things are happening only because of that support. So thank you.
Thank you, Mayor Reynolds. And thank you, Ms. Collins, for the update too. Our Finance Committee, Councilwoman Crimson-Smith.
Thank you. The Finance Committee met tonight, Tuesday, April 16, 2024, 6 p.m. in Town Hall. The committee discussed and voted on the following seven agenda items. One, the Sewer Capital Fund Budget Adjustments 2019 H2O Grant. Two, the Sewer Capital Fund Budget Adjustments ARPA Pennsylvania Small Water and Sewer Grant. Three, the Water Capital Utilities Fund Budget Adjustments, PennVest Grant. Four, Water Capital Utilities Fund Budget Adjustments, ARPA H2O Grant. Five, General Fund Budget Adjustments, PCCD Grant for Recruitment of Policemen and Policewomen. Six, General Fund Budget Adjustments, Health Budget Amendments. Seven, Liquid Fuels Fund Budget Adjustments, PennDOT Issued Allocation Check. Committee votes were taken on each of the seven agenda items. The committee voted to recommend placement of the appropriate bills on tonight's council meeting agenda for each agenda item. Respectfully submitted, Grace Crampsey Smith, Chairwoman of the Finance Committee.
Thank you, Councilwoman. We don't have any ordinances tonight for final passage. We'll go to new ordinances. Mr. Miller, please read Bill 9, 2024.
An ordinance of the City of Bethlehem, Counties of Lehigh and Northampton, Commonwealth of Pennsylvania, amending the 2024 capital budget for sewer utilities. Bill number 09, 2024, is sponsored by Ms. Leone and Ms. Francis Smith.
Discussion? Ms. Quita?
Just for those who weren't able to attend the meeting, a number of these are adjustments similar to some that we voted on in the past, where because the 2024 budget is built off of 2023 through October, there are additional expenditures or savings that are realized, and so then adjustments have to be made, and that's what we're looking at tonight.
Thank you, Council. Any other discussion? We'll call the roll.
Ms. Cramsey Smith?
Aye.
Ms. Kwiatkowski?
Aye.
Ms. Laird?
Aye.
Ms. Leone?
Aye.
Ms. Wilhelm?
Aye.
And Mr. Cologne?
Aye. Passes 6-0. Bill 10, 2024.
An ordinance of the City of Bethlehem, Counties of Lehigh and Northampton, Commonwealth of Pennsylvania, amending the 2024 capital budget for sewer utilities. Bill number 10, 2024, is sponsored by Ms. Leone and Ms. Cramsey Smith.
Discussion? Call the roll.
Ms. Cramsey Smith?
Aye.
Ms. Kwiatek?
Aye.
Ms. Laird?
Aye.
Ms. Leone?
Aye.
Ms. Wilhelm?
Aye.
And Mr. Cologne?
Aye. Passes 6-0. Bill 11, 2024.
An ordinance of the City of Bethlehem, Counties of Lehigh and Northampton, Commonwealth of Pennsylvania, amending the 2024 capital budget for water utilities. Bill number 11, 2024, is sponsored by Ms. Leone and Ms. Cramsey Smith.
Discussion? Call the roll.
Ms. Cramsey Smith?
Aye.
Ms. Kwiatek?
Aye.
Ms. Laird?
Aye.
Ms. Leone?
Aye.
Ms. Wilhelm?
Aye.
And Mr. Cologne?
Aye. Passes 6-0. Bill 12, 2024.
An ordinance of the City of Bethlehem, Counties of Lehigh and Northampton, Commonwealth of Pennsylvania, amending the 2024 capital budget for water utilities. Bill number 12, 2024, is sponsored by Ms. Leone and Ms. Ramsey Smith.
Discussion?
This, unless somebody else wants to
take it.
Also, again, for those who weren't able to join us earlier at the committee meeting, this one actually is to replace a 100-year-old reservoir on the south side. And it's ARPA funds that came from the federal government are coming through the state. So just to, and then there's a match from the city as well. So.
Thank you, Councilwoman. Any other discussion? We'll call the roll.
Ms. Cramsey Smith?
Aye.
Ms. Kwiatek?
Aye.
Ms. Laird?
Aye.
Ms. Leone?
Aye.
Ms. Wilhelm?
Aye.
And Mr. Cologne?
Aye. Passes 6-0. Bill 13, 2024.
An ordinance of the City of Bethlehem, Counties of Lehigh and Northampton, Commonwealth of Pennsylvania, amending the general fund budget for 2024. Bill number 13, 2024, is sponsored by Ms. Leone and Ms. Cramsey Smith.
Discussion?
I'll just comment. This is a grant from the state for police hiring, so it is the equivalent of $75,000, $5,000 hiring bonus for 15 police officers.
Thank you, Councilwoman. Any other discussion from members of council? We'll call the roll.
Ms. Cramsey Smith?
Aye.
Ms. Kwiatek?
Aye.
Ms. Laird?
Aye.
Ms. Leone?
Aye.
Ms. Wilhelm?
Aye.
And Mr. Cologne?
Aye. Passed 6-0. Bill 14, 2024.
An ordinance of the City of Bethlehem, Counties of Lehigh and Northampton, Commonwealth of Pennsylvania, amending the general fund budget for 2024. Bill number 14, 2024, is sponsored by Ms. Leone and Ms. Cramsey Smith.
Any discussion? We'll call the roll.
Ms. Cramsey Smith?
Aye.
Ms. Kwiatek?
Aye.
Ms. Laird?
Aye.
Ms. Leone?
Aye.
Ms. Wilhelm?
Aye.
And Mr. Cologne?
Aye. Passes 6-0. And last ordinance, Bill 15, 2024.
An ordinance of the City of Bethlehem, Counties of Lehigh and Northampton, Commonwealth of Pennsylvania, amending the 2024 Liquid Fuels Fund budget. Bill number 15, 2024, is sponsored by Ms. Leone and Ms. Cramsey Smith.
Any discussion? We'll call the roll.
Ms. Cramsey Smith?
Aye.
Ms. Kwiatek?
Aye.
Ms. Laird?
Aye.
Ms. Leone?
Aye.
Ms. Wilhelm?
Aye.
And Mr. Cologne?
Aye. Passes 6-0. Continuing on to resolutions, Resolution 10A.
Be it resolved by the Council of the City of Bethlehem in accordance with the Municipal Records Manual, hereby authorizes the disposal of public records in the Department of Water and Sewer Resources as set forth in Exhibit A. Resolution is sponsored by Ms. Leone and Ms. Cramsey Smith.
Discussion? Call roll.
Ms. Cramsey Smith?
Aye.
Ms. Kwiatek?
Aye.
Ms. Laird?
Aye.
Ms. Leone?
Aye.
Ms. Wilhelm?
Aye.
And Mr. Cologne?
Aye. Passes 6-0. Resolution 10B.
Be it resolved by the Council of the City of Bethlehem, the Mayor and the Comptroller, and or such other city officials as deemed appropriate by the city solicitor, are hereby authorized to execute all documents and agreements with the Greater Lehigh Valley Chamber of Commerce for Marketing and Public Relations Services. Resolution is sponsored by Ms. Leone and Ms. Francie Smith.
Discussion?
Yes, I just wanted to disclose that due to a conflict of interest with a family member potentially benefiting from this contract, I'll be recusing myself tonight.
Thank you, Councilman. Any other discussion from members of council? We'll call the roll.
Ms. Ramsey Smith?
Aye.
Ms. Kwiatek?
Abstain.
Ms. Laird?
Aye.
Ms. Leone?
Aye.
Ms. Wilhelm?
Aye.
And Mr. Colon?
Aye. Passes 5-0 with one abstention. Resolution 10C.
Be it resolved by the Council of the City of Bethlehem that the Mayor and Comptroller and or such other city officials as deemed appropriate by the city solicitor are hereby authorized to execute all documents and agreements with BEDCO to carry out programs or targeted activities of BEDCO. Resolution is sponsored by Ms. Leone and Ms. Ramsey Smith.
Discussion? We'll call roll.
Ms. Ramsey Smith?
Aye.
Ms. Kwiatek?
Aye.
Ms. Laird?
Aye.
Ms. Leone?
Aye.
Ms. Wilhelm?
Aye.
And Mr. Colon?
Aye. Passes 6-0. Resolution 10D.
Be it resolved by the Council of the City of Bethlehem that the Mayor and Comptroller and or such other city officials as deemed appropriate by the city solicitor are hereby authorized to execute agreement to effectuate the transfer of city-issued handgun assigned to Douglas Notstein, a retired city police officer. The resolution is sponsored by Ms. Leone and Ms. Ramsey Smith.
Discussion? Before we call the roll, I'll just say I'll be supporting this evening, and as we often do as it relates to these resolutions, which I've lost count over the years of how many we've had, I'll remind everyone they've no resolution to execute the agreement to the retired officer has ever failed. And we hear, as we do with a lot of things, we vote on people's different opinions, and I've said some of this before, but I'll briefly repeat myself. This is a good representation of times where we have different perspectives. We vote differently, we voted differently over the years, even this current council, recent, in the last couple of meetings. This will happen. I don't think it's a question of someone acting ethically to have a difference of opinion that is shared by some population of our community. That said, I'll support it, as I always have, but I also recognize that my support is not unanimous with those who have put me in office. And just like anything else we vote on, I invite difference of opinion and don't think it's a question of someone violating ethics as it relates to having a difference of opinion where there is shared sentiment from a population of our community. And that's all I'll say. Any other discussion before we call the roll? Mr. Miller, please call the roll.
Ms. Ramsey Smith?
Aye.
Ms. Kwiatek?
Nay.
Ms. Laird?
Aye.
Ms. Leone?
Aye.
Ms. Wilhelm?
Aye.
And Mr. Colon?
Aye. It passes 5-1. Resolution 10E.
Be it resolved by the Council of the City of Bethlehem that the Mayor and Comptroller and or such other city officials as deemed appropriate by the city solicitor are hereby authorized to execute all documents and agreements with Benchmark Civil Engineering Services Incorporated for the Choice Neighborhood Traffic Study of Pembroke Road and Stefco Boulevard Street Corridors. Resolution is sponsored by Ms. Leone and Ms. Ramsey Smith.
Discussion? Councilman Laird?
Just a question about the scope of the study, if that's been defined so far. It's named for the one main intersection there, and I'm wondering how far off of that intersection it'll be looking and what types of traffic study or pedestrian involvement will be looked at.
So the scope includes Pembroke and Stefco, but it'll then hone in on a few intersections that are most highly trafficked. So I would imagine like around Lincoln Elementary School, around like where kids would walk to Northeast. And then we often hear as well about, you know, coming out of that area between like Marvine and Fritz. There's some, you know, a lot of pedestrian activity over there as well. So those would be the areas I think that we would be targeting for specific interventions and possibly a project that would align with Choice Neighborhoods to be our early action project.
Okay, thanks.
Yeah. Any other discussion? Councilman Kwiatek.
Thanks. So I am on the steering committee of the Choice Neighborhoods project in my capacity as the liaison to the Bethlehem Housing Authority, and this has come out time after time in meetings. Ms. Collins did mention that in her statement, but I just wanted to thank the administration for acting on this rather swiftly, and it's only been a matter of a couple of meetings, and this is already turned into a contract and action, so that's great. It is a problem that, you know, is very, very evident when you spend any time on that stretch of Stepco and Pembroke, so thank you again.
Any other discussion from members of council? Councilman Leon?
I don't want to belabor the point, but I was at that the Pembroke little activity, and having talked to so many of them, this really does, it's an issue that repeats itself over and over again, so I'm happy to see some folks moving on it.
Any other discussion from members of council? Mayor Reynolds, is there anything you want to add?
Just to add to that, as you know, it's a conversation that's come up, obviously not just other than the physical safety, but just the symbolic nature of what both Pembroke and in Stefco Boulevard mean for the people who live in the neighborhood. It is essentially, it's like the physical version of a river, I would think, or a mountain, and what it means as far as the separation from those neighborhoods. And I think for generations we've seen kids having to cross Stefco as also a symbol if they're going to Northeast or Liberty or anywhere else. And I think it's one thing, as Councilman Kwiatek and Councilman Leon brought up, is, you know, this is not something we necessarily deserve credit for as much as we're listening to what people are saying in those neighborhoods as far as the way they feel. And it is our job, just like we have made it a focus to change the way Broad Street feels and operates, and change the way that Linden Street and Center Street feel and operate based on what Northside Alive has talked about. Like in Choice Neighborhoods, this has come through loud and clear that as important as housing is, it's also about these thoroughfares and how we necessarily change these streets and the effect that they have on, or the systemic effect they have on these particular neighborhoods. So I'm here to say that it's not just a priority for us as far as the study is concerned, but, you know, no matter what happens with Choice Neighborhoods going forward, it's a priority for us as well. As far as changing the energy and safety of these streets and truly connecting the city. And, you know, that's been the kind of explicit, idea behind Choice Neighborhoods, is that we are investing in our neighborhoods, and a big part of that is how do we improve this corridor. So it's going to be something that's on our short, medium, and long-term priority list, no matter when we get the funding for Choice Neighborhoods to be able to improve the housing in that section. Thank you.
And I'll just conclude with, as someone who spent 3 years going to Northeast from Marvine, I look forward to seeing what the outcomes are of the study and appreciate everyone's efforts, as there's, again, members of council, members of the community, members of the administration, members of that neighborhood that are really giving a lot of valuable input. And it's going to be, like a lot of the projects that we say, this is one data point in a long timeline of a lot of data points when something goes from idea to implementation to ribbon cutting, but I look forward to seeing where all this goes, and just a thank you to everybody involved in it. Any other discussion? We'll call the roll.
Ms. Creasy Smith?
Aye.
Ms. Kwiatek?
Aye.
Ms. Laird?
Aye.
Ms. Leon?
Aye.
Ms. Wilhelm?
Aye.
And Mr. Colon?
Aye. Passes 6-0. Resolution 10F.
Be it resolved by the Council of the City of Bethlehem, the Mayor and the Controller, and or such other city officials deemed appropriate by the city solicitor, are hereby authorized to execute all documents and agreements with Kugel's Recycling Incorporated for transportation and processing of recyclables. Resolution is sponsored by Ms. Leon and Ms. Francie Smith.
Discussion? Ms. Leonard?
Yeah, so over the past several years, I know that there has been news and discussion about recycling and what actually happens to it once it gets picked up and goes away, and what some of the companies do with it that aren't exactly what people picture. So I'm just curious about what is known about Kugel's process once the recycling materials leave Bethlehem and go to their facility. Are there checks in place to make sure that it actually is being recycled, and how those processes work?
I feel popular tonight.
So the first thing I'll say is that the contract itself, or, you know, the bid that we put out specifically lays out in bold underlined, capitalized font that, you know, all the recyclable materials, like, may not go to landfill, must go to, like, a legitimate recycling facility. You know, Google takes all of our different products, and each of those has a different end location, whether it's metal or cardboard or paper. So Google's, you know, they will bale, they'll process, and then they sell those materials to each of those different end users. Those are identified. You know, Mike Forster, who's the director of recycling, is very aware of each of those end facilities and how they operate. So, you know, he is in constant communication with Kugels about that. Sometimes they will, like, send out checks just to make sure that, like, the trucks are going where they're supposed to be going. But they're all facilities that he's comfortable with, that they are actually doing the appropriate recycling.
Glad that we're on top of it.
Yeah.
Any other discussion on the resolution? Thank you, Ms. Collins. We'll call the roll.
Ms. Gramsci-Smith?
Aye.
Ms. Kwiatek?
Aye.
Ms. Laird?
Aye.
Ms. Leone?
Aye.
Ms. Wilhelm?
Aye.
And Mr. Colon?
Aye. Passes 6-0. Resolution 10-G.
Be it resolved by the Council of the City of Bethlehem that the Mayor and Controller and or such other city officials as deemed appropriate by the City Solicitor are hereby authorized to execute all documents and agreements with Key Codes Inspection Agencies to provide inspection services. The resolution is sponsored by Ms. Leone and Ms. Gramsci-Smith.
Any discussion? We'll call the roll.
Ms. Gramsci-Smith?
Aye.
Ms. Kwiatek?
Aye.
Ms. Laird?
Aye.
Ms. Leone?
Aye.
Ms. Wilhelm?
Aye.
And Mr. Colon?
Aye. Passes 6-0. Resolution 10-H.
Be it resolved by the Council of the City of Bethlehem that the Mayor and Controller and or such other city officials as deemed appropriate by the City Solicitor are hereby authorized to execute all documents and agreements with AECOM to provide design upgrades for 3 water connections between the cities of Bethlehem and Allentown. Resolution is sponsored by Ms. Leone and Ms. Gramsci-Smith.
Any discussion on the resolution? We'll call the roll.
Ms. Gramsci-Smith?
Aye.
Ms. Kwiatek?
Aye.
Ms. Laird?
Aye.
Ms. Leone?
Aye.
Ms. Wilhelm?
Aye.
Mr. Colon?
Aye. Passes 6-0. Resolution 10-I.
Be it resolved by the Council of the City of Bethlehem that the Mayor and Controller and or such other city officials as deemed appropriate by the City Solicitor are hereby authorized to execute all documents and agreements with AECOM to provide design upgrades for 2 water connections between the City of Bethlehem and the Eastern Suburban Water Authority. The resolution is sponsored by Ms. Leone and Ms. Gramsci-Smith.
Discussion? We'll call the roll.
Ms. Gramsci-Smith?
Aye.
Ms. Kwiatek?
Aye.
Ms. Laird?
Aye.
Ms. Leone?
Aye.
Ms. Wilhelm?
Aye.
And Mr. Colon?
Aye. Passes 6-0. Resolution 10-J.
Be it resolved by the Council of the City of Bethlehem, the Mayor and Controller and or such other city officials as deemed appropriate by the City Solicitor are hereby authorized to execute a use permit agreement with St. Luke's University Health Network for the 2024 Boutique at the Rink. The resolution is sponsored by Ms. Leone and Ms. Gramsci-Smith.
Discussion? We'll call the roll.
Ms. Gramsci-Smith?
Aye.
Ms. Kwiatek?
Aye.
Ms. Laird?
Aye.
Ms. Leone?
Aye.
Ms. Wilhelm?
Aye.
And Mr. Colon?
Aye. Passes 6-0. Resolution 10-K.
Be it resolved by the Council of the City of Bethlehem, the Mayor and Controller and or such other city officials as deemed appropriate by the City Solicitor are hereby authorized to execute a use permit agreement with the Kindness Project and sub-permittee Arts West for the LLP Peyton Hindman Memorial Car Show. Resolution is sponsored by Ms. Leone and Ms. Gramsci-Smith.
Discussion? We'll call the roll.
Ms. Gramsci-Smith?
Aye.
Ms. Kwiatek?
Aye.
Ms. Laird?
Aye.
Ms. Leone?
Aye.
Ms. Wilhelm?
Aye.
And Mr. Colon?
Aye. Passes 6-0. Resolution 10-L.
Be it resolved by the Council of the City of Bethlehem, the Mayor and Controller and or such other city officials as deemed appropriate by the City Solicitor are hereby authorized to execute a use permit agreement with the Greater Lehigh Valley Chamber of Commerce and sub-permittees Lost Tavern Brewing, LLC, Franklin Hill Vineyards, Incorporated, and Social Still, LLC for the 2024 Live in the Garden Concert Series. Resolution is sponsored by Ms. Leone and Ms. Gramsci-Smith.
Discussion? Ms. Quick.
This is an extension of the same disclosure of conflict of interest. This is also related to Live in the Garden. I will be abstaining on this tonight.
Thank you. Any other discussion from members of council?
I also have a conflict and will be not voting on this matter tonight.
Understood. Anyone else abstaining? Any other discussion? I'll just say before we vote that I believe this is the 30 year, Mayor Reynolds, if I'm not mistaken, that this is going on. And I remember many years ago, we had a community meeting over at the Rose Garden about what the future of the Rose Garden looked like, some of the, this is pre-improvements to the Rose Garden, things like that. And there was a gentleman from the neighborhood, some people were saying, people need to use the Rose Garden more, people need to use the Rose Garden more. And one of the neighbors said, we are the people, we are the ones who, no one's stopping you from coming out more. And he kind of inspired a group of I live on the west side, a few other council members live on the west side, reminded us that these parks are public spaces, are there for us, and we make the conscious choices to either utilize them or not. We invested some money in the Rose Garden, this project that's been a success for a few years now, other ways the Rose Garden's utilized, continue to bring us out there. So I hope to get out more. Last summer and the previous, we were a little tied up at home, but hopefully we'll get out there more this summer and look forward to seeing everybody out there. Mr. Miller, please call the roll.
Ms. Gramsci Smith.
Aye.
Ms. Kwiatkowski.
Abstain.
Ms. Laird.
Aye.
Ms. Leung.
Aye.
Ms. Wilhelm.
Abstain.
And Mr. Colon.
Aye. Passes 4-0 with 2 abstentions. Resolution 10M.
Be it resolved by the Council of the City of Bethlehem that the mayor and controller and or such other city officials deemed appropriate by the city solicitor are hereby authorized to execute a use permit agreement with Arts Quest for the 2024 Levitt Pavilion Concert Series. Resolution is sponsored by Ms. Leone and Ms. Gramsci Smith.
Discussion? We'll call the roll.
Ms. Gramsci Smith.
Aye.
Ms. Kwiatek.
Aye.
Ms. Laird.
Aye.
Ms. Leone.
Aye.
Ms. Wilhelm.
Aye.
And Mr. Colon.
Aye. Passes 6-0. Resolution 10N.
Be it resolved by the Council of the City of Bethlehem that the mayor and controller are authorized to and directed to execute all application forms necessary to apply for a Northampton County grant for the Greenway Trail Gap acquisition, and that the mayor and controller are authorized to execute such agreements and documents as deemed to be necessary and or related thereto. Resolution is sponsored by Ms. Leone and Ms. Gramsci Smith.
Discussion? We'll call the roll.
Ms. Gramsci Smith.
Aye.
Ms. Kwiatek.
Aye.
Ms. Laird.
Aye.
Ms. Leone.
Aye.
Ms. Wilhelm.
Aye.
And Mr. Colon.
Aye. Passes 6-0. Resolution 10-0.
Be it resolved by the Council of the City of Bethlehem that the mayor and controller and or such other city officials as deemed appropriate by the city solicitor are hereby authorized to execute the intergovernmental cooperation agreement titled Wastewater Treatment Plant Allocation Agreement with Lower Saucon Township and the Hellertown Borough Authority. Resolution is sponsored by Ms. Leone and Ms. Gramsci Smith.
Any discussion on the resolution? Call the roll.
Ms. Gramsci Smith.
Aye.
Ms. Kwiatek.
Aye.
Ms. Laird.
Aye.
Ms. Leone.
Aye.
Ms. Wilhelm.
Aye.
And Mr. Colon.
Aye. Passes 6-0. I'll accept a motion and a second to consider resolutions 10P through 10R as a group.
So moved.
Second.
Motion by Councilwoman Wilhelm, second by Councilwoman Leone. Any discussion on the motion to consider them as a group? Mr. Miller, please call the roll on the motion.
Ms. Gramsci Smith.
Aye.
Ms. Kwiatek.
Aye.
Ms. Laird.
Aye.
Ms. Leone.
Aye.
Ms. Wilhelm.
Aye.
And Mr. Colon.
Aye. Motion passes 6-0. Please read the COAs, or COA, yeah.
Certificates of appropriateness under the provisions of the Act of Pennsylvania Legislature Bethlehem resolution are hereby granted for 129 East Market Street to add a garage door and trim to match the existing garage doors that were previously approved by HARP, 505-507 Main Street to replace an existing blade sign, and 258 East Market Street to remove old asphalt shingles and replace them with GAF slate line shingles in the antique slate color. The resolution is sponsored by Ms. Leon and Ms. Gramsci Smith.
Any discussion on the certificates of appropriateness? We'll call the roll.
Ms. Gramsci Smith.
Aye.
Ms. Kwiatek.
Aye.
Ms. Laird.
Aye.
Ms. Leone.
Aye.
Ms. Wilhelm.
Aye.
And Mr. Colon.
Aye. The group passes 6-0. That concludes tonight's agenda. Get home safe, everyone. Thank you, Mr. Miller, for all your reading tonight.